Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this Wednesday extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. I mean, does it get any nuttier, any more insane? CNN, yes, the fake, very fake news network running a story describing a wonderful visit of Sesame Street and Elmo to a refugee camp in Syria, where he concludes that refugee kids are just like us. And they like to play and learn just like Elmo and all his friends on Sesame Street.
I have to say, this is a real treat. I get to interview lots of exciting people. But Elmo, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Elmo. Hi, everybody.
Aww, Elmo, can so I just cute. Start by asking you, because I know you went to visit a refugee camp in Jordan, right?
Yes.
Back in February?
Yes.
What was it like?
It was really wonderful. Oh, Elmo and Michelle went to Jordan together.
We did.
And it was really wonderful because Elmo got to meet a lot of new friends.
A lot of new friends? And did you find that the Syrian little girls and little boys were a lot like your friends here in America?
Yeah, they really were. It was very interesting because they like to play and learn,
right?
Just like Elmo and all of his friends at Sesame Street.
And they loved Elmo. They loved meeting Elmo.
It was a really good time.
It's worth saying, perhaps especially today, this country, the U.S., receives very few refugees, and there's a lot of fear and loathing being put out. Countries like Jordan, right, a million refugees. Uganda, where I've just been, a million refugees. People there see the refugees as their brothers and sisters, not as terrorists who are coming to get them.
Elmo, let me ask you, was it sad for you to meet little boys and girls who had lost their homes?
Yeah. You know, it was really sad because Elmo's new friends in Jordan told Elmo that they had to leave their homes because it wasn't safe for them to stay. And that made Elmo really sad. And sometimes I'm a little bit scared.
I'm sure. And why do you think, Elmo, that it's important to help other children?
Well, Elmo just thinks it's really important to be kind to people and to treat people the way that you would like to be treated, because it's important to bring joy to everybody.
This is CNN.
Yeah, the whole message is to use Elmo to attack the president's travel ban. And by the way, the president, what does the president support? Oh, the president supports all of these refugee camps that we will protect militarily. The president supports food and water and medicine and supplies and Elmo dolls, even, I'm sure, for every child that is part of this, you know, sad civil war that is ongoing. But we can't take in every refugee. But if we're going to provide food, water, medicine, cots, blankets, supplies, baby formula, and everything in between, oh, that makes Donald Trump a horrible human being because we're not taking in every refugee when, again, we're not going to be able to vet whether or not they're coming here because they really want a new life for themselves or their families, or if they want to blow up innocent Americans. How do you possibly ever ascertain what is in the heart of any adult human being? You cannot. So let's use Elmo as a propaganda tool so we can indoctrinate little children into believing Donald Trump's a bad man because he wants a travel ban and he wants to vet refugees. Well, now I think CNN has now hit another new low, which brings us to the point of everything I want to talk about today. You know, how many more years do I have to tell you that journalism in America is dead? You know, people actually wrote, do you remember, Linda, they wrote back way in the day that when I said that's disgraceful, guys like Hannity saying that journalism is dead. Right, we were just ahead of the curve. Like, we were ahead of the curve that Trump could win. We were ahead of the curve that Obama was a radical, rigid ideologue that, you know, worshipped at the church of GD America, and America's chickens have come home to roost, and black liberation ideology, and yeah, he was an Alinsky disciple and an Acorn activist, and he hung out and started his political career in the home of unrepentant terrorists. Yeah, we were right about that, too, and nobody wanted to follow that in the media. And we also were at the forefront of telling you that he'd fail. You don't think that his foreign policy, Russia, was a failure? He knew in August Russia's meddling and he wouldn't lift a finger because he thought Hillary was going to win? Or this ridiculous Iranian deal? How many billions of dollars did we send to Iran over this? You know, planefuls of cash to the mullahs in Iran so that they can foment even more terror, fight more proxy wars, advance their nuclear programs even further. And did we tell you 13 million Americans more Americans on food stamps? Obama, doubling debt, Obama, 8 million more in poverty, Obama, lowest labor participation, Obama, worst recovery since the 40s, Obama, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years, Obama. I'm like, yeah, we were ahead of the curve there. Hannity was right on the Duke lacrosse case. Because I kind of follow the Cheryl Atkinson model when she was on the program yesterday. If the media is all going in one direction, I'm skeptical. I'm going in the other direction. Did that early in my career with Richard Jewell. We did it on Duke lacrosse. We never bought hands up, don't shoot, which turned out to be a total, complete fabrication and lie. Told you early on, none of the cops in the Freddie Gray Baltimore case were going to be convicted. Told you early on, hold your fire on what happened with George Zimmerman. And lo and behold, an eyewitness saw Trayvon Martin grounding and pounding Zimmerman's head into concrete, and we caught the scream on tape. You know, we have a real media credibility crisis. What we try to do on this program is get to the truth. And if we don't know the truth, we'll tell you we don't know it yet. No evidence of collusion. I've told you how many times. If evidence emerges, I'll tell you about it. I don't even know what collusion means. Does that mean that somebody in Russia, because Hillary violated and committed felonies and put an email server in a mom-pop shop bathroom closet, that they were able to hack into her computer and they found evidence that she committed felonies and that Hillary lied to the American people like she did with Benghazi? It's just a spontaneous demonstration. They just happened to have a mortar in their back pocket and said, you know what, you guys, hey, you want to take the mortars out now? Let's take the RPGs out. Let's just use them now. Because we always walk around with mortars and RPGs. Just a bold-faced liar. What difference at this point does it make? Four dead Americans. Yeah, well, maybe it makes a difference to the families that you lied to them and lied directly to their face. And, of course, the media is wrong again and again and again. And they laughed and they ridiculed and they mocked the notion, the idea that Trump could be the president. We've had 11 months of pure, unadulterated media lying to you. NBC, ABC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, and then I guess the leader of all of this is CNN. It is mind-numbing to watch this credibility crisis as if it's something new. It's not new. We've been telling you about the fake news networks now forever and warning you that journalism is dead and trying to be the antidote to what it is that these people do. Trying to give you every day on radio news, information, guests, opinion, and entertainment that you won't find anywhere else. I mean, we got liberal Joe Scarborough now. Oh, I've got a word for him tonight on TV. If you haven't seen it, he's now doing music videos that are anti-Trump music videos, calling him a schmuck and the biggest liar, he said this morning, of all time, having an emotional breakdown, him and his fiance. Both these people, they are emotionally unhinged as you watch them.
And the greatest irony, Mark Halperin, is that
I don't want to hear it. We'll do it tonight. We'll do it tonight. But you have, you know, now you've got Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN. Where is Time Warner?
This is CNN.
Where are their shareholders? Where's the president of Time Warner? They're going to let this one guy use their network, destroy all credibility, and destroy the whole freaking thing for the very purpose of allowing, what are they allowing here? They're allowing, you know, one guy to take down the network. They're allowing one guy to advance his political agenda of hurting the president. That's what they're going to do? Somebody, all right, you know, and I don't know who's worse, NBC or CNN. They're in, like, you've got fake news CNN, a fake news network. Then you got fake news NBC, MSNBC. Rachel Maddow has this one bizarre conspiracy theory after another, day after day and night after night. It's unbelievable to me. Anyway, so our friends at Project Veritas, they now catch yesterday this poor producer guy admitting the truth. Yeah, Zucker says, get right back to Russia, Russia, Russia. Get right back to it. Listen.
Then why is CNN constantly, like, Russia this, Russia that?
Because it's ratings.
Because it's ratings?
Our ratings are incredible right now. So, my boss, I shouldn't say this, my boss a couple days yesterday, we were having a discussion about this dental shoot, and he goes, he's like, I just want you to know what we're up against here. And he goes, just to give you some context, President Trump pulled out of the climate accords, and for a day and a half we covered the climate accords, and the CEO of CNN said in our internal meeting, he said, good job everybody covering the climate accords, but we're done with it, let's get back to Russia.
The CEO?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So even the climate accords, he was like, okay, a day or so, but we're moving back to Russia. Job.
So CNN is, sorry, I turned my mic off. So CNN, that, on top of that, they get caught advancing more fake news, and they have to go out there and explain, oh, sorry, we screwed up once again. And, of course, it's all related to Russia, and they do a fake hit on my buddy Anthony Scaramucci, works with me at Box, and Scaramucci's not going to take their crap laying down, and he goes out there and says, no, I'll sue your ass, and lo and behold, they have to retract that story. I mean, it's almost daily, and it's not the only example. You got June 16th, CNN. They have to delete a tweet, issue a correction. They claim only Democrats were praying before the congressional baseball game. Lie. Not true. Because one day before that, CNN senior White House correspondent, the ever so angry, bitter, hostile, biased, ideological Jim Acosta, tweeting that, and then had to remove, well, the president didn't visit Congressman Scalise in the hospital. How are they letting one man, Jeff Zucker, destroy an entire network? Now, by the way, it's not bad for my business. Let me just say, and as a side note, with all the phony fake news out there and all the manufactured black helicopter and tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, all that's doing is helping me. Yes, number one in cable news the Monday night, Tuesday night. Number one on the network in the important selling demo, 2554. By the way, thanks to all of you. It's got to stop. When is Time Warner going to make this one man stop his own personal vendetta? Because the cost is high. The property, the value, the brand, CNN is destroyed because of this one man's agenda. I mean, it's kind of breathtaking. Where's journalism? It's exactly where I told you back in 07 and 08. It's dead. And people say, well, Hannity, you have an opinion. I'm like, yeah, I'm the only honest one. And you get more truth here. You get more objectivity here. You get more perspective here. We're proven right more often than all of these people combined on all the cases that I just mentioned. The president winning, Obama's radicalism, Duke Lacrosse, Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Freddie Gray, Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, and Richard Jewell back in the day, for crying out loud. That's how old I am. 800-941-SEAN. We'll continue on the other side.
From number one New York Times bestselling author and radio host Mark R. Levin comes an essential new book, Rediscovering Americanism and the Tyranny of Progressivism, a searing plea for a return to America's most sacred values. Mark R. Levin revisits the founders' warnings about the perils of overreach by the federal government and concludes that the men who created our country would be outraged and disappointed to see where we've ended up. Levin asks, how do we save our exceptional country? Because our values are in in such a precarious state, he argues that a restoration to the essential truths on which our country was founded has never been more urgent, and understanding these principles can serve as the antidote to tyrannical regimes and governments. Rediscovering Americanism is not an exercise in nostalgia, but an appeal to his fellow citizens to reverse course for the sake of our children and our children's children. Rediscovering Americanism and the Tyranny of Progressivism by Mark R. Levin. Available now wherever books are sold.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. So we live in a world where truth doesn't exist, where up is down, down is up, and black is white, and white is black. It's almost like if you're on the left today and the left tells you, oh, there's a donut in the sky. You know, you'll have all these people in the media saying, well, Donald Trump colluded with the Russians and they dropped a donut in the sky. That's how absurd it is. Now, what's so fascinating about all of this is how it is now boomerang back. I'm calling it the Hannity boomerang, as I predicted it would. All right, now we know Obama in 2016 in August knew that Russia was trying to meddle in our elections. He did nothing because Hillary Clinton was on a path to win. Now, if you know that a country's meddling in our elections and you don't do anything for political reasons, what does that say? He needs to go under oath and answer some serious questions. We know Loretta Lynch was out there meeting Bill Clinton before she makes her decision on the tarmac for 40 minutes, supposedly talking about grandchildren. Well, after you talk about diapers and baby formula, what's left to talk about besides, they say, goo goo gaga? Not a whole lot. And then, of course, it's not an investigation, it's a matter. And then we have the Sarah Carter and John Solomon report. Okay, that's called obstruction of justice. It needs to be investigated. We know the Espionage Act was violated with General Flynn when they surveilled him, unmasked him, and released raw intelligence. Well, that's called a felony, Espionage Act. We know that Hillary Clinton with the email server, she mishandled classified top secret special access program information. And then, by the way, destroyed it. Both of them are felonies. Then the Clinton Foundation, a real Russia connection here. 20% of America's uranium, the foundational material for nuclear weapons, goes off to Vladimir in Russia in exchange for millions kicked back to the Clinton Foundation. And of course, Comey probably violated the Records Act by releasing to the New York Times what he leaked. And Mueller, of course, has more conflicts. How does Mueller have a special counsel investigation and hire Hillary's attorney and Obama and Hillary donors? You don't think that's a conflict? We're going to get to the truth. Stick with us. We'll take a break. Your call's coming up. I-25. Who's in the studio with you? Why don't you explain who's there? By the way, that is a really good-looking family there. Those two kids.
These are good-looking people.
Who are they? I feel like I'm always like a polar bear or a monkey or a lion in a cage.
We're here to see the exhibit at the zoo.
I'm like the exhibit, right?
Clearly.
All right, so who are these adorable kids?
So this is Melissa, and she's 10, and this is Clara. She's a future talk show host. She's 6.
All right, Melissa, say hi on the microphone so everybody can hear you.
You're 10.
And you're 10 years old?
Hello.
Hi. Oh, that's Clara. Okay. By the way, you got to let them hear me. You guys never fight, right? Ever? And put their mics up. No, you got to talk into the radio. You can't.
Do you think I don't know how to work the mics? How long have I been here?
Okay, well, let them respond. Do you guys ever fight? You can answer that question.
We do not.
That is such a lie. You're lying to your newly adopted uncle. Now, tell the truth. You do fight, right? Of course you. Well, this one's shaking her head yes, and you're shaking your head no.
They're already fighting.
They're already fighting about what's that. And their mom and dad are here. Hi, guys. How are you?
This is Daniel Aquari and his wife, Candace, and they're lovely.
Yeah, he's been on the program a bunch of times. What a good-looking family. It's so amazing. Well, anyway, welcome to the program. Good to see you all, and I'm glad I could entertain you. It feels like Gladiator. Are you not entertained? You know, when he just kills somebody.
There's a reason that movie got 5 stars, you know.
Why?
Because I was entertained, as you will now do for us.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's my job.
Indeed.
All right, so I'm talking about the media, I'm talking about CNN, talking about the crisis of confidence that they have. And anyway, Tom Price, though, is with us first, the Health and Human Services Secretary, before we get to all of that. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Sean. How about you today?
I'm good. All right, so why is... it drives me nuts, all of you people in Congress. It took forever to get the health care bill in the House done. Then we expected the Senate to be done by July. Everybody seems wigged out by the 20 million figure of people that will be, quote, uninsured. Isn't it because they're choosing not to get insurance and they were compelled to get insurance under Obamacare and now they're choosing not to?
Exactly. The mandates go away, so it's not let folks lose coverage. It's that they choose to get the coverage that they want. In fact, the CBO report in the fine print, if you don't buy coverage that the CBO says is what they call creditable coverage, then you don't qualify as having coverage, even though you've got coverage. So the numbers just are baked in the wrong way. And look, we understand that the current system, the current status quo, is absolutely untenable. Prices are going up. Deductibles are going up, premiums going up, care's going down, and insurers are leaving the markets, and so we've got to do something. And the time to do that is now.
Well, I agree, but the most important aspect, and I'm not a big believer in CBO scoring because I think the scoring has been so god awful over the years, but the CBO score shows, what, a 30% decrease in premiums, and after, what, a nearly $8,000 on average increase after Obama, people need that desperately.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. The premiums need to go down, and the deductibles need to go down. And what the CBO does not score, and you know this well because we've talked about it, and that is all the things that we can do in concert here at the Department of Health and Human Services to make it so that there is greater flexibility for states, greater competition, more choices for folks out there, again, to get the kind of coverage that they want, not that the government forces them to buy. So there are all sorts of things that we can do to help bring down premiums and bring down the cost of health care and coverage for folks.
Well, I think that's the most important thing. What about, and I understand that there are a lot of discretionary powers that you hold as the Health and Human Services Secretary. Can you explain what that means and how you, just in your position, because there are some conservatives like me that wish the bill was a little stronger.
Exactly.
That wish it was a full repeal, and it's not. And we're watching the process unfold. I was a little disappointed in about 100 House Republicans that, in my opinion, had absolutely zero intention when push came to shove of repealing it. But putting that aside, I do like what Mark Meadows and a lot of the conservatives were able to compromise with, and I'm assuming the same thing or something similar will happen in the Senate, maybe even better.
Hope so. But, well, you remember, Sean, we talked about 8 years ago all of the times that in the bill, in Obamacare, it said the secretary shall or the secretary may. In fact, there were 1,442 times that it said that. And pursuant to that, over the two terms of President Obama, his administration put forward all sorts of rules and regulations to carry out that law. And what we're doing here at the Department of Health and Human Services is going through every single one of those and determining whether or not they help patients or hurt patients, whether they drive up costs, drive down costs, whether they increase choices, decrease choices for patients. And if the answer to those questions is wrong, then what we're doing is moving in a direction to either correct it or do away with it. And that takes time, but those are the kinds of things that we're going to be able to do from a regulatory or a rule standpoint.
So earlier in the week, I have a lot of friends that are doctors, and I have two that are brain surgeons. I have another one that takes care of me. And can you imagine the burden of being my doctor, how awful that is? You know what the biggest burden for him is getting me in the office because I don't want to go to a doctor ever.
You know, we had a special color tab on charts in our office for patients like you.
What's the color? What was the color?
Well, it differed depending on the...
Probably red for pain in the ass, right? I mean, that's what I'm figuring I would be, but I'm only kidding. So and all these guys, they do free surgeries, they donate their time, they give money, and they can't even get a tax deduction for a free surgery that they do to save somebody's life, which is mind-numbing to me, but they all do it because they're
exactly
committed
right to
being great doctors, and I think they should get deductions as a side note. Anyway, so all these guys do this, and then I got my buddy Dr. Umber down in Wichita, Kansas. I heard you met him recently, and he's the one that created Atlas MD, and that's a co-op, $50 a month for adult and $10 a month for kids, unlimited care. He buys directly from the you know, those people that provide medicines and so on, the pharmaceutical companies, and that's 95% discount. It's 48 cents, I think, for a X-ray in his office. if you need stitches, you get stitches. You need a leg set, you get a leg set. That's all included.
Yeah, he's got an incredible story to tell. And those are the kinds of innovations in healthcare that we ought to be incentivizing from a governmental standpoint. But to date, what we've done is shunned those folks and said, no, we won't allow you to participate. So that's exactly the kind of flexibility and choices that we believe ought to exist, so that it's patients and families and doctors that are making these kinds of decisions and not Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, so back to the discretionary powers you have. Here's my main question, and I think if we can get premiums down, and especially the high cost of deductibles for people, I mean, it's expensive for people to even walk into a doctor's office or copays or whatever. I mean, if you have a high deductible, then you're going to be incentivized to never see a doctor. That's not good. Everybody should go once a year, even though I don't follow my own advice.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And the problem that with the high deductibles, as you know, is that when you've got a deductible of $6,500 or even $10,000, and you're making, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, well, you may have an insurance card, and the CBO says you've got coverage, but in fact you don't have any care because you can't afford the deductible. And I talk to my former physician colleagues frequently, and they tell me that there are patients and parents that come in there. They make a recommendation about what ought to be done, and then they go visit the front office clerk, and they say, this is what you're going to owe, and they say, I'm sorry, I can't afford that. And so people are denying themselves care right now because the deductibles are so high, and that's new with Obamacare.
You see, what I love about Dr. Josh Umber and Atlas MD is that it's concierge care for everybody. And now think about this. If you have a doctor and you have unlimited access to your doctor, like he offers his patients, and I asked him, I said, well, most of your patients are like me. They don't really want to see you, do they, unless there's something wrong or they're getting their yearly checkup? And he goes, yeah, pretty much. And I said, but then I said, you probably have a few people that are hypochondriacs. And he said, yeah, we got those too. And I said, but they get this, all the care too.
Yeah.
And but the main thing is he's always there if you need them. Now, if you couple that with catastrophic insurance, if God forbid you got cancer, God forbid you have that bad accident or a heart attack, then you're fully covered for what? I mean, that's, you know, $300 a month and you've got everything covered, low deductibles, full complete access to a doctor. To me, that ought to be duplicated everywhere.
Oh, you're absolutely, keep preaching it. And it ought not be required of folks, but that option ought to be available for folks. And that's what we need to be talking about. The options and choices that patients all across this land ought to have are those kinds of things and others, so that it's the patients that are selecting what kind of coverage they have, not the government forcing them to buy something.
Yeah. All right, so my question is, with your discretionary powers, you can absolutely take what the House and Senate are offering and the lower premiums and the lower deductibles that we're told we're going to experience, and we were told by the CBO, and that you can add to that every applicable standard so we can get to cooperatives and health savings accounts, which I fundamentally have always believed are the answers to our health care crisis.
Yeah, through the entire plan, through the bill that's being discussed right now and the reforms that we believe we are able to make from a regulatory standpoint and some other legislative changes that the Congress can do, that all of this can be moved in such a better direction so that, again, it responds to patients and families and docs and is not responding just to the federal government.
Well, that's actually very good news, and you're confident we're going to get all of that.
I believe if we got to keep moving ahead, got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and so that requires an act of Congress, as the president has said, and he's been working so hard on this. His dedication to getting health reform, health care that the American people want is absolutely astounding. I'm impressed every day.
I can't stand that Congress can't keep up with the speed of Trump. I really can't. It drives me nuts.
Yep.
And they drive. Listen, these are your former colleagues, so probably you don't want to say what you really think. But I mean, I find them frustratingly slow and lacking in total, complete urgency.
Well, I tell you what is inspiring is the activity of the president and his dedication to this issue and others. But every time I have a conversation with him about health care, it is focused on solutions, focused on positive solutions. So it's an incredible privilege to be able to serve.
All right. Thank you, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price. Thank you, Secretary. Appreciate it.
Take care, Sean. Be good.
I've known Tom Price for a lot of years. He's a good guy, and this has been his passion now for all these years, and I hope he can get this done. Project Veritas now has caught Van Jones admitting Russiagate is a big nothing burger. Listen to this.
What do you think is going to happen this week? I mean, with the whole Russia thing.
Yeah, the Russia thing is just a big nothing burger.
Really? You don't think that...
There's nothing there you can do.
Oh, a big nothing burger. But what does he say when he's on television?
This is baffling to anybody with a functioning brainstem. I mean, we have to be honest about this. Yes, other presidents tried to say nice things about the Russians and other, you know, warm things in their heart and they love. Not in the face of an active attack on the country. Cyber war is real war. So you have an active attack on our country and you have the president-elect cannot find it in himself to say this is wrong and it needs to stop.
Oh, no, I was just saying that nobody is saying that the Russians hacked into every voting machine, changed the vote totals, etc. I do think that there's a concern here, and I know you probably want to speak to this. I just am surprised to hear Republicans minimizing it.
Right.
Listen, here's the deal. Democrats might want to make hay out of this, might want to jump up and down. That shouldn't be your concern. You're the governing party. You have both the House, the Senate, and the White House. So you have to be above all that and say, I don't care if Democrats or Smurfs or anybody else want to make a big deal about it. It's a big deal to me and my country. And we're not hearing that. That's shocking.
Unbelievable. What a bunch of phonies. Now, before we go to break here, Linda, we got to put your mic on. I want to say thank you again to this audience. Not only did they stand up for us when we needed them, in ways that we never imagined, which I found not only energizing but humbling. But we got word just, I guess, on Monday this week that we are going to be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. When is that? October, I think, right?
It's November.
November. Okay, I knew that. And
it's not we, it's you.
Well, I'd like all of you guys to go, considering you're such a big part of the program.
I am so glad you said that, because I was thinking that we could all go, your entire team, and we could air a best of, and we could all go and be there together.
You know who I want
to...
I
figured I'd ask you on air, so there's a lot of pressure.
I had the honor of inducting one person into the hall, Scott Shannon. I would really like him to induct me. You think I can get that to happen?
See if I can do something about that.
You know, I mean, it just is, I just don't know. I was so honored to do it for him. But I want to just thank this audience. I mean, it is such an honor. And this was not, by the way, me going on air and begging people to put me in, which I thought was a dumb system last year. And in spite of all my criticism, they still put me in this year.
You barely let us do it last year. Are you kidding me? But this is a huge honor. And our audience,
is, right?
we have them to thank for.
Can you believe I've been in radio 30 years now?
No, I can't. You look so young. You're so thin and good-looking and strong.
Everybody on radio can actually see your face lying, even though it's radio. It's just such a lie. I mean, you don't have to lie to the audience.
I want that day for our whole team to go.
All right, we're going to do that. That'll be fun. All right, 800-941-SHAWN. Thank you to all of you. I pinch myself every day that I have the blessing of this microphone and obviously the camera on Hannity. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SHAWN. By the way, Congressman Andy Biggs is going to jump in. He's one of the guys that thinks Mueller needs to go. He's also believing don't go on an August recess. Thank God. Katie Hopkins, the Golby one. You know, apparently Trump is bad for people's love life now, according to the anti-Trump hysteria. Trump is responsible for everything, but apparently there's a big Tinder war. If you want to meet somebody on Tinder, you better not support Trump for most of these people. What difference does it make when it's a hookup? Isn't that a big hookup sign? That is, right?
Yeah, it is.
Like you meet and then you go make out with the person.
Clearly.
That's it.
I'm married.
It's a very different life than what I grew up in, I'll tell
big
you that.
Big difference, my friend.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office. The director of national intelligence that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the director of national intelligence, that had anything that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Have you seen anything
either intelligence briefings, through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that
you've
made.
They have the documentation that they did the hacking.
The hacking.
On the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that have.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign?
Not at this time.
Have you seen anything that suggests any collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign?
Well, there's an awful lot of smoke there, let's put it that way. People that might have said they were involved, to what extent they were involved, to what extent the president might have known about these people or whatever. There's nothing there from that standpoint that we have seen directly linking our president to any of that.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed. I don't know.
The big questions, of course, is there any evidence of collusion you have seen yet? Is there?
There is a lot of smoke. We have no smoking gun at this point, but there is a lot of smoke.
Dianne Feinstein has said there's no evidence of collusion. So collusion between whom? Can you tell us that?
I'm not prepared to say that there's proof you could take to a jury, but I can say that there is enough that we ought to be investigating.
At the time you separated from service in January of 2017, had you seen any evidence that Donald Trump or any member of his campaign colluded, conspired, or coordinated with the Russians or anyone else to infiltrate or impact our voter infrastructure?
Not beyond what has been out there open source, and not beyond anything that I'm sure this committee has already seen and heard before directly from the intelligence community.
Pretty devastating indictment, isn't it? No evidence, collusion, 11 months of media coverage, and now we've got CNN under fire. First, you've got this poor producer guy caught on tape. I mean, he's just telling the truth. Oh, yeah, we're told to go back to Russia, 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 even though we know it's not true because it gets ratings.
The morning CNN constantly, like, Russia this, Russia that.
Because it's ratings.
Because it's ratings?
Our ratings are incredible right now.
Okay, and then Van Jones caught on tape. Russia's nothing, but contradicting what he says on the air. Listen.
What do you think's going to happen this week? I mean, with the whole Russia thing.
Yeah, the Russia thing is just a big nothing burger.
Really? You don't think that...
There's nothing there you can do.
This is baffling to anybody with a functioning brainstem. I mean, we have to be honest about this. Yes, other presidents tried to say nice things about the Russians and other, you know, warm things in their heart and they love, not in the face of an active attack on the country. Cyber war is real war. So you have an active attack on our country and you have the president-elect cannot find it in himself to say this is wrong and it needs to stop.
Oh, no, I was just saying that nobody is saying that the Russians hacked into every voting machine, changed the vote totals, etc. I do think that there's a concern here, and I know you probably want to speak to this. I just am surprised to hear Republicans minimizing it.
Right.
Listen, here's the deal. Democrats might want to make hay out of this, might want to jump up and down. That shouldn't be your concern. You're the governing party. You have both the House, the Senate, and the White House. So you have to be above all that and say, I don't care if Democrats or Smurfs or anybody else want to make a big deal about it. It's a big deal to me and my country. And we're not hearing that. That's shocking.
Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. He's also the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Understanding Trump, joins us now. Isn't this amazing now where we've come with all of this?
You know, it's really astonishing. When you do the work that you and your team did, and you put all of those together, it's such a devastating indictment of the game that was played by the left. Such a clear vindication of Trump, and of course sets the stage to really wonder what President Obama was doing when he refused to tell the American people way back in August of last year of evidence that he supposedly had been given about Russian efforts to influence the election. I think that had he done that, I think that then-candidate Trump would have joined then-candidate Clinton in decisively condemning and repudiating what Putin was doing. So this whole thing is so bizarre, and you did such a good job just now of letting the audience listen to all these different players, each in their own way, saying there ain't nothing there.
And they That's say amazing. One thing privately, and then they say another thing publicly. And, I mean, how does CNN survive in anybody's mind as having any credibility, or, frankly, NBC? I mean, it's so amazing, especially in light of all the attacks I've had my entire career, where I admit I'm a conservative, and I stand by the fact that people get more truth. Let me give you a quick. I was right about Obama. I was right back in my Richard Jewell days in Atlanta. I was right about Ferguson. I was right about Duke Lacrosse. I was right about Freddie Gray. I was right about what happened, you know, down in Florida with George Zimmerman. I was right that Trump could win. You know, we've been right so often, and we've been right about Russia and collusion. And we've been right on so many issues. They are so wrong so often. Why is it? Because they're so ideological? I didn't collude with the Clinton campaign during the last election. Did you?
No. Look, let me say, the question you ask is really important. I think it's two different things. I think half of it is ideology, that they really are that far to the left. They live in an alternative universe. They really have different standards. But the other half of it is just pure, raw emotion. I think the folks on the left, the people at CNN and at MSNBC and elsewhere, they are so deeply emotionally upset by President Trump being in the White House, and they cannot get over it. And I think it blinds them and makes them think it's okay to do things that, of course, are just totally unacceptable, and it's beginning to catch up with them. That's why I think you've had four different people now fired at CNN for going, you know, overboard.
Oh, no. They just resigned as a matter of course. I think they lied and used fake news about them saying they resigned. I don't even think that was true.
You think they didn't resign?
No, I think they were fired and paid money. That's my guess.
Right.
But the official line is they resigned. I don't believe it.
Well, I think they resigned under extraordinary pressure.
Oh, okay. Okay, Mr. Clinton. It all depends what is this.
Now, that's a little. You go after me when I occasionally remind you that was a low blow.
No, that was about the lowest I've ever used against you. You're absolutely true.
I think it is, actually.
Well, but you think about it. They actually sent out a fake news press release to get over the fake news problem that they got caught with. I mean, there's a certain irony to all of that.
I actually did not realize that, and I think it's hysterical.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious these guys didn't just up and decide to resign.
No.
I mean, nobody believes that.
All three of them decided to resign the same day. Yeah, how much did they get paid to resign? That's what I want to know.
That's right. In the middle of a scandal.
In the middle of a scandal. I think we'll get out. Now, this is all Jeff Zucker. Here's a bigger question. Because Jeff Zucker now has a credibility crisis. He hates the president. This is his own personal agenda. And now he's destroyed the CNN brand. Well, what about the shareholders? What about the head of Time Warner? At some point, do they ask questions? Why are you using our network for your own personal agenda to take down a president?
I think at some point, Time Warner will be forced to bring in somebody. I mentioned Michael Mukasey, former attorney general, as an example. They're going to be forced to bring in somebody who is senior enough to review the whole corporate culture at CNN, because it's clear that Zucker has created a toxic environment for virtually everybody over there. And the result, you're exactly right. The result is they've taken the brand that Ted Turner built, and they have just literally driven it into the ground and made it almost a laughingstock.
No, I totally agree. All right, so then you have over at NBC, you don't have anything different, or the New York Times, you don't have anything different, or the Washington Post. They've all had to retract stories, and I think NBC is the worst. I mean, what is Matt Lauer, Megyn Kelly, you know, what are their top anchors, Lester Holt and Tom Brokaw, what do they think of all of the bizarre conspiracy theories that are peddled every night by Rachel Maddow and company?
Well, I think they probably shrug them off. I mean, they get large enough checks, they're happy to show up in the morning.
So it's basically, so they really don't have, wait a minute, so that means that they're not so committed to journalism like they claim they are.
Well, no, let me draw a distinction. I mean, Brokaw is in an older tradition of, while he's liberal, he's a serious journalist, and is a little bit like Bob Schieffer. I mean, Schieffer was on CNN one night a couple weeks ago, and he was asked what he thought about President Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia. And he said, you know, I really thought he did a very effective job. I thought he represented America very well. And the banker who was interviewing broke in and said, aren't you in danger of normalizing him by talking that way? And she looked at him like he was crazy and said, well, actually, I was giving you an honest reporter's analysis. And I thought, that's my job.
You know what? I'm not as willing to give these guys a pass considering the severity of the conspiracy theories advanced under the banner of what they work for their whole lives. And that is the credibility of NBC or, in the case of Schieffer, CBS News.
But that's why I'm just drawing a distinction. There's a generational break, I think. And you begin to get folks who didn't come out of that background, didn't have the kind of respect for Edward R. Murrow or for Walter Cronkite, et cetera. And I think the result is you have people who do what they're told.
Stay right there. We
gotta think about it.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with the former Speaker of the House, author of Understanding Trump, number one New York Times bestseller, Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. All right, as we continue, former Speaker of the House, author of the book Understanding Trump, Newt Gingrich is with us. The things that I say are important to be, all right, now that we know Obama knew in August of 2016 and did nothing because he thought Hillary was going to win when Russia was meddling in our election, that seems to be needed to investigate. Loretta Lynch, the tarmac, it's not an investigation, and oh, maybe she put the kibosh on everything. General Flynn was a victim of the Espionage Act. James Comey seemed to have violated the Records Act. Mueller seems to be conflicted all over the place, hiring Hillary's attorneys and people that donate to Obama and Clinton. And then you got Hillary. Not only do you have the Uranium One Clinton Foundation kickback scheme, but then you got the email server felonies that I'm certain she committed. Don't you think it's now time to shift the intention to real crimes, real issues, now that the Democrats want investigation so bad?
Well, look, I think just as a matter of American history and the long-term future of this country, I think there are three different tracks that come out of this. The first track is I really do believe that President Obama needs to show up and testify and take questions and explain this. And anybody else related to this whole strange experience where you had, it comes with three levels. One, they had information as early as August that they thought the Russians were trying to influence our election. Two, and they decided to keep it secret. Two, they were, the sanctions that they considered were very tough. The sanctions they implemented were terribly weak. And three, if they knew all this in August, why did they allow this entire dishonest smear campaign against Trump? Because they've had information all the way back in August. So I think that should absolutely appear before the congressional committees. I don't think it's a Justice Department issue. I think it's a basic knowledge of what's happening in America and what people are doing to us. Second, I think you're exactly right. This whole issue of Lynch, particularly given that we have testimony now from Comey, that in his judgment she was instructing him to use the same language as the Clinton campaign, and he felt very uncomfortable about it, combined with her having met with Bill Clinton in this weird meeting on the airport tarmac in Arizona the same week that they were about to interview Hillary. I think that probably should be both the Justice Department and a congressional investigation. But I want to raise a third, much broader issue. I think the Congress should really look at the whole question of foreign efforts to shape American politics and policy. The number of countries in the Middle East, for example, who give very, very large grants to universities in order to hire so-called experts who just happen to always be in favor of the countries that gave the money. I mean, there's a whole world here now of people trying to shape and influence our policies, hiring lobbyists, doing a variety of things, giving money to foundations, giving money to universities.
Yeah.
We should have a congressional investigation that looks at the totality of that.
Mr. Speaker, always thanks for being with us. Congrats on the book, Understanding Trump, 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. Quick break. We'll come back. The gobby one at the top of the hour, and Congressman Andy Biggs when we get back.
They're Americans in every way, but on paper.
Apollinar Altamirano had come in and wanted to buy cigarettes. Altamirano then pulled a gun and pointed it at Grant. Grant immediately
offered up the cigarettes, and Altamirano then shot him point blank in the face. My son's death was completely preventable. Apollinar Altamirano had been in the country illegally since he was 14.
If we cannot get comprehensive immigration reform as we need and as we should, with a real path to citizenship that will actually grow our economy, then I will go as far as I can, even beyond President Obama, to make sure law-abiding, decent people in this country are not ripped away from their families.
My son dropped his girlfriend off. It was her birthday. He gave her a kiss and told her, happy birthday, I love you, see you tomorrow. He drove about 10 minutes, less than a mile from his apartment, and was shot in the head by an illegal alien who went on a shooting spree. This should not happen. Before my son was born, I wrote in his baby book, and I said this to him throughout his life, and on his birthday, I would change it by adding in his year. I would tell him, did I ever tell you that out of all the children in the world, you're the one I would have picked, and I deserved to have him at the end of my life sitting next to me. And Paul Ryan and other politicians that don't think a border is worth it, this is the loss.
I'm not about to let anybody who can make a contribution to our economy and our society get thrown away.
My youngest son, Joshua, was a senior in high school and had his whole life ahead of him. He went to school and never returned. As Josh walked up to the doors of the school that morning, Hermilo Morales walked up as well. At trial, the killer testified on his behalf and gave exact testimony on how he systematically killed Joshua. He first threw a punch in the face so that Joshua's vision was messed up and he could not fight back. He next kneed Joshua in an abdomen so that he would go to the ground. Josh went to the ground as his spleen was sliced in half. The killer was aggravated that it was not over yet. He was a black belt in mixed martial arts and thought he could do this without any blood. He was aggravated it was not over. He said he grew tired of watching bloody bubbles come from Joshua's nose as he was trying to breathe. Next, he took a closet rod and beat Josh over the head again and again until the rod broke in four pieces. Joshua was still breathing. Next, he strangled him. He let him go to see if it was over. No, it's not over. So he continued until there were no more bloody bubbles. He must have said it six times from the stand. He waited and he watched him die. He tied Josh's body up, stuffed it in the back seat of our truck, bought gas, dumped Josh in a field, and set his body on fire. The killer went home, took a shower, and went to see a movie, had popcorn and Coke.
It's obvious Republicans are more afraid of the Dreamers than they are of ISIS.
All right, the president today meeting with families that have lost loved ones and those that have been victims of illegal immigrants killing and murdering and sometimes raping. Hannity, you're saying what Trump said. You're accusing every illegal immigrant of being a rapist and a killer. No, but we are acknowledging that some people don't come here with the best intentions. And when I went down to the border, one of my, 12, 13 times down there, yeah, I did sit through a security briefing, and in an eight-year period, 642,000 crimes, including murder and rape, were committed against Texans alone. And that was the meeting that, then the briefing that, in fact, Barack Obama should have been at. And I sat there with Governor Rick Perry, and Governor Rick Perry took matters into his own hands because he wanted to stop this. It's happening. It's one of the many reasons. Drugs, gangs, arms trafficking, human trafficking, that we need to secure our borders. Another reason is we don't want those that are associated with ISIS or Al-Qaeda coming across the border. Now, we understand that people want to come here and want a better life for themselves and their families. Is it really wrong of America to ask first that you respect our laws and respect our sovereignty? Now, joining us now is Congressman Andy Biggs, and he's been pushing and talking about the need for Congress, A, to work through the August recess. He's also talked about why Mueller needs to recuse himself from the Russia investigation. And I think maybe even more importantly is Andy Biggs introduced this legislation, which is called Grant's Law, in memory of this young man, Grant Ronnebach. And we've had his father on the program. It was gunned down in 2015 at a convenience store at the age of, 21 years old. And the guy, he didn't get the cigarettes fast enough that this guy wanted to rob from him. And we found out the guy had taken a person hostage for, about a week and raped some woman and went to jail. And we never sent him back, right?
Right. That's exactly right, Sean.
Unbelievable.
This guy was dangerous. We knew he was dangerous. But the Obama administration said, we're not going to send him back. I mean, and that's been a pattern with some of these criminally violent illegal aliens, and we need to protect our society. Our society needs the protections.
Well, We need the protections. It's simple, basic common sense. Nobody is saying that everybody that's an illegal immigrant is horrible, is bad. But we are saying that there are some that don't respect our laws and sovereignty. Also, they're competing to get, you know, jobs that Americans need. We have 95 million Americans out of the labor force, 50 million in poverty and on food stamps. We've got to get these people back to work, these people thriving, and then we could think about taking in other people that, that want to be a part of our American family.
Exactly right, Sean. I mean, look, when we talk about illegal aliens, there are some who have, personally altruistic, that's not necessarily altruistic, but they want to be here. And they want to obey our laws. But there are a significant minority of those folks who are violent and do harm. And until we start enforcing our laws, which I'm grateful President Trump's doing, but also on sanctuary city laws, we need to be aware that what's going on with sanctuary cities. You've got cities that are providing enticement for people to cross our border illegally and effectively harboring these people. And some of these people are very bad people. Not all of them, but some of them are.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you about this. So Congress has been ridiculously slow, lacking urgency to get their job done and fulfill the president's agenda. It's very frustrating to me. The Senate now is, you know, they put off the vote on health care until now before the August recess. And my question is, well, we haven't done the president's economic plan. We haven't done tax reform. We haven't fully funded the border wall yet. We have so many other issues, energy independence issues that, you know, on those matters that they can be working on. And I'm like, why are you guys going on vacation all the time? You are with me and we have a list up on my website. I'm like, why are you people going on vacation all the time? Go to work.
Well, that's exactly why I've written the letter. We've got some co-signers who've written joined me in the letter. The Freedom Caucus took an official position saying let's work through August. I think we have a lot of work to do. We made a lot of promises. Let's keep those promises. Let's go ahead and keep working. And if we do, I think we can be much more effective. I don't buy into the argument, well, if we have a deadline, we're going to get things done. I just don't buy into that. There's so much work to do. We ought to have the moral discipline to get that work done.
I was very happy to see that you're one of the few people that has the courage to speak out and point out, you know, that, in fact, Mueller has massive conflicts of interest. The hiring of Hillary Clinton's lawyers was so over the top to me, him literally either coaching or colluding with James Comey before his testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee was just unheard of to me, hiring one lawyer after another that either has ethical issues or they donated to Obama or Clinton. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, it's a problem. It clouds the entire investigation. You know, if you're going to investigate this thing, we all want to see an objective investigation. But now it's tainted. This investigation is tainted. I've called on Mr. Mueller to recuse himself. Well, you should see the hate mail I get for that, by the way. But anyway, it's pretty amazing how biased that is. And imagine if the shoe was on the other foot, Sean. Imagine if we were investigating Hillary Clinton with a bunch of Trump lawyers. The left would not stand for it a minute.
Not one second would they stand for this.
Right.
And by the way, rightly so.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all you're doing. I think you have been one of the rock stars. Are you part of the Freedom Caucus?
I am.
Yeah, we need to up the numbers of people in the Freedom Caucus so you guys have more power, more influence, in my humble opinion.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. We, as we have been doing, will continue to follow this bill as hopefully it makes its way to passage to protect these families. Thanks for being with us. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Let's get to our phones here as we check in with Diane is in Idaho. Diane, hi, how are you? And welcome to the program. Glad you could be with us.
Oh, thank you, Sean.
What's going
on? Glad to be here. Hey, in light of all this leaking that's taking place, the latest one in a very small committee, I find it so frustrating. And I'd like to see a bill passed for the House and the Senate that if anyone is caught leaking, they have immediate removal from their committee and possibly forced to resign their seat as well. I just don't see enough integrity and accountability with our elected officials.
Well, I mean, they already have laws on the books against this type of leaking. You leak intelligence, it violates what's called the Espionage Act. And when you violate the Espionage Act, that's called a felony.
Then why aren't they getting away with it?
I don't know the answer to it, but I got to tell you something. It's now a national disgrace. And if we don't get to the bottom of it, they're not going to stop. And that's the biggest problem in all of this. You know, and look, at some point, we've got to stop here. At some point, we've got to realize that this is hurting the country. At some point, we've got to realize that there are rogue agents that within the intelligence community. And by the way, I think the average intelligence community worker is protecting our country. And they're given very powerful tools. And if those tools are turned on the American people, then we become a police state. That's how dangerous all of this is. I wish I had more time. All right, we're going to have some fun. The gobby one, our friend from Great Britain, Katie Hopkins, is coming up at the top of the hour. And we'll get to your calls also in the next hour as well, 800-941-SEAN. All right, as we head to back to our busy telephones here, 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. Christina is in Kentucky. Christina, hi, how are you? And we're glad you called. Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Thank you, Sean. Very nice to be able to talk to you. I've been listening to your show now for a little while. My husband has created a monster. And I'm very curious as to all the corruption that's going on and all the illegal things that are going on. What can I do? Because I tend to feel helpless as to getting anything done, making them be held accountable. What can I do as an individual?
You know, it's really, you're asking, number one, a generous, selfless, and a giving question. And I get a lot of people actually ask me this. You know, look, this is my full-time job and what I do. But remember, for this president to be successful, he basically needs all of us to be spokes in the wheel. For example, you support his economic plan, lower middle class taxes, lower corporate taxes, repatriation at a low percentage so that multinational corporations bring their money back, energy independence, you know, getting rid of Obamacare, building the wall, vetting refugees. All right, so those are the things we voted for.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been telling people is, Christina, we can't have Americans, especially in this environment where they're trying to destroy this man every day, just cast their vote and walk away.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is engage. And by engaging, that means as these bills make their way through, then I would say, you know, call your congressman, call your senator. And if you think that's not a big deal, it is a big deal.
Okay.
You know, talk to your friends when you go out to dinner and say, well, then you hear them, you know, with their rantings and ravings and lying about Trump. Say, well, can I ask you a question? And then maybe set them straight. You know, for example, oh, Trump, Russia collusion. You could just sit back calmly, take a sip of your wine or beer and go, do you have any evidence of this collusion? Can you tell me what it is? And watch them a-hum-a-da-hum-a-da-hum-a-da.
Yeah,
you know,
they tend to watch their mouth around me when it comes to that stuff.
And, you know, I mean, just little things. I actually take great pleasure. My family is now trained to kick me. It's very painful every time I'm at a dinner and I'm and this moment occurs.
Does that extend to us? Are we allowed to start kicking
that's
you?
Why
what's
you're in
what's
the
deal?
That's why you're in a separate room there,
I never
sunshine.
Got that permission.
No. Well, I can't tell you. Even my friends kick me.
We're your friends. When do we get to start kicking you? You should come in now. Let's try it.
So I had this little issue with the school district recently.
I heard.
Yeah. And my lawyer's sitting next to me, and he's kicking me.
That a sidekick where it doesn't have as much effect?
So finally, in front of the whole group, and he's doing it as subtle as he can, I'm like, can you just stop kicking me? I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I said, I'm not your average client, so get used to it. And everybody is like, their mouth open, aghast. Oh, my gosh. Just, Christina, you'll learn to have fun with it, but you'll also be doing something important. Don't minimize anything you do. I mean, you know what? If you're engaged and you're telling your friends and you're on social media and you tweet out or you put a Facebook post up or you go to Instagram or you speak up at dinner and say, can you tell me what the evidence of collusion is? And maybe there's 15 people there and you have a checkmate moment. It's amazingly powerful how quickly that all spreads. So I'm just glad you're engaged. I hope everybody that voted for Trump understands that this is about stopping him from completing that which he promised to all of you. And that's a problem, I think, for all of us. Anyway, that was a great call. Thank you. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. The gobby one, Katie Hopkins, and your calls next half hour straight ahead. Oh.
think's going to happen this week? I mean, with the whole Russia thing.
The Russia thing is just a big nothing burger.
Really? You don't think that...
There you can do. Yes, other presidents tried to say nice things about the Russians and other, you know, warm things in their heart and they love, not in the face of an active attack on the country.
You're the governing party. You have both the House, the Senate, and the White House. So you have to be above all that and say, I don't care if Democrats or Smurfs or anybody else want to make a big deal about it. It's a big deal to me and my country. And we're not hearing that. That's shocking.
All right, News Roundup and Information Overload Hour, Sean Hannity's show. By the way, when you hear that ridiculous music at the beginning of the show or the hour, you know that's Katie Hopkins, the gobby one. And, you know, our friends in Great Britain, are they monitoring the insanity of Russia in the U.S.? And what do they think about it?
I think it's a lot less intense for us over here. I think most people kind of have moved on from the Russia scandal and the agenda that was pushed so heavily from CNN. But spotters like me, who are kind of really into your news, what's going on, are watching CNN unraveling, and certainly with some enjoyment, I have to say, which is not a very kind thing to
say. By the way,
I think certainly from
even our friend
Piers' perspective, for Sean, from a British perspective, I would say we see definite parallels over here with our state broadcaster, which is the BBC, which has its own agenda, as you'd know, and is always against the Tory government and Brexiteers. So we do have parallels here in the UK.
Well, maybe that'll change, you know, if Sky goes to Fox News, right?
Absolutely. And we certainly are feeling the change. What we have learned watching America and we have learned from America is to question more, to question the narrative that the mainstream media would like to force down our necks. And if there's something positive to be gained out of CNN falling and failing so spectacularly, it's that the wider public, who aren't spotters like you or I, are actually starting to question everything they're told. And I think that's probably a great thing.
Well, I think it's a great thing, too. I mean, you know, what's amazing about the left in this country, though, is they actually want to silence voices like people like me. But I guess it's not that surprising, is because the gobby one, you have come under fire almost your entire career. And we got to get you on TV soon. We haven't had you on the TV program yet. But do a lot of people, if I went to Great Britain, would a lot of people know who I am or no?
I think a majority of people wouldn't maybe recognize you necessarily in the street, but I suspect your support here is a lot greater than is visible, in the sense that we don't see you so much on our media, but I know that there's people who still hold on to Fox News there as people that are still willing to speak their mind. I certainly talk about you nonstop, which is a positive thing, and people also, I guess, when they support someone like me, are in turn supporting someone like you, because we're trying to stand up and articulate the views of those who feel that they no longer have a voice in the media because they're suppressed. They're told they're not allowed to say that. They're not allowed to think that. And I think you and I end up speaking the words of so many people who feel like they no longer have a voice.
Well, I think that that's true. And, you know, last night I went through, and today on the radio program and yesterday, I went through a list of six things that we ought to really be looking at as a country, besides 11 months of bizarre conspiracy theories. And I know I see the bias on the BBC all the time. It's so obnoxious. I'm actually surprised at how much the Daily Mail follows media in the United States. And I look at the Daily Mail online and I'm shocked that I'm on there as much as I have.
Yes, you are. And it's a really key thing. You know, when I think of Mail Online, I think of DailyMail.com. So the U.S. is certainly where the heart is, where our focus is. And I'm either writing for the U.K. or the U.S. And my good friend, your good friend, Piers, is certainly writing more for the DailyMail.com, the U.S. kind of audience. But you are very much part of the DailyMail.com conversation. And I think it's so exciting for us. You know, we just saw your Supreme Court do a fantastic thing and allow the Trump travel ban to stay in place more or less until October, when it will be looked at. You know, for us, that we hold on to that. We look at America and we say, that's what we needed. We needed Theresa May to come out after that last terror attack when she said enough is enough. Enough is enough, and we need a travel ban. So I think we get hope now from America the same way that America, I'm sure, looks at us with some form of pity in the state that we've fallen into in Europe.
You know, what you really need is Brexit, because you can't make make decisions until you have Brexit. And the idea that anybody that gets any passport in any part of Europe can walk into your country and get full, complete services is an insane burden financially and in every other regard to Great Britain. And it was a bad idea from the start. Let me stay on media, though, for a second. Your former vice presidential candidate, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, she ends up hiring Hulk Hogan's attorneys. He won that big lawsuit against Gawker, suing the New York Times for defamation for falsely accusing her in one of their editorials in June of inciting this guy Jared Loughner to shoot Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, which was insane. But you have different laws as it relates to both media and lawsuits. For example, loser pays. Explain how it works in Great Britain.
Absolutely. So if I was to take a lawsuit out here in the UK and lose, absolutely I pay, and absolutely I would be expected to pay damages. And what we have here, a recent case against me, in fact, on my Twitter feed, is we have judges that also want to teach a lesson. You know, they want to make a certain perspective heard. I feel very much that judges are not non-partisan. I think they very much are partisan. We hear people say a lot, don't we, the law is the law. Well, that isn't the case, is it? If you look at the Ninth Circuit, it's not the case. The law is really the partisan interpretation of the law. And I was used as a test case recently, which made the bar for libel on Twitter very, very low. So you can sue people for things they say on Twitter. I was sued for an apology for a tweet I made that I retracted and apologized for, but I was still sued for that, had to pay damages and their costs and mine. That's how it works here. So it's much easier here in the UK for people, or much more the case that people back down and cough up.
Right. So in other words, if I want to sue somebody and I'm going to have some skin in the game, then you get rid of all of these ridiculous, frivolous, insane lawsuits. So it actually, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good idea that we get rid of frivolous lawsuits. What concerns me from my learning is that judges have a certain impression going into these court cases, and I'm not sure the law is essentially the law. I definitely feel it's a partisan interpretation of the law. But in terms of the New York Times, I've had two retractions from them recently, two printed retractions in their paper, because of wild assertions they made about things I hadn't said. And I have said now that going forward, the next thing the New York Times decides to print that is entirely without foundation, I will take action against them as well. So I do have sympathy for Sarah Palin.
You know, I honestly, only up until recently, I've just been willing to take the crap that the media throws at me.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, now I've just got lawyers, and I may be following up with some lawsuits myself because I'm a little sick and tired of it. It's outright lying, it's smearing, it's slander, it's libel, and it's malicious. And, you know, I know the standard is so much higher, at least in the States, if you're a public figure. It seems like you're a public figure. That basically is interpreted by people. That means they can say anything they want against you.
Yeah, Sean, and you know what? I have a kind of a rule for myself on this, which is that the regular person in the street, you know, the regular punter, say what you want. You want to say you want to do this to me, or you're going to set my car on fire with me in it, or you're going to knock me over in the street. I don't really mind because, look, I put myself out there. I've got to suck it up. If I don't like it, I can sit at home on my sofa like the rest of the population and have an easy life. But when it comes to the media, when it comes specifically to the state broadcaster calling people hate speeches. So after we had the white van incident where a man ran over a gentleman outside a mosque, a lot of white commentariat were called hate preachers in retaliation. And the BBC, the state broadcaster, there were legal cases brought against them, and they had to come out and say on air and make an apology and a retraction. And I think that's the line, Sean, is when the broadcasters who are in our own industry start, you know, using wild slurs and accusation and defamation that is simply without foundation. I think you have to take a legal stand.
You know, I think the biggest problem, the biggest issue in Europe and in Great Britain is this issue of, I still for the life of me can't figure out how you guys adopted over the years 80 plus Sharia courts. How in God's name did that happen? And especially considering what Sharia, what the real practice of Sharia is, the practical application of Sharia is in so many countries, which is oppressing women, killing gays and lesbians, and oppressing Christians and Jews. How did that ever happen to one of our closest allies?
I think it was a lot more strategic than we might imagine. People might imagine that we integrate cultures, we have multiculturalism, and we must be tolerant, and all of a sudden, look, we've got 800 now Sharia courts in the UK. What I actually think happened, it was a much more strategic plan by the Muslim population, and we see specifically the mayoral positions, so these positions of mayors in our major cities. I think 8 out of 10 of those are Muslim mayors now, because the voting system is very, what would you say, it is easy to get a number of votes from the same individual for a Muslim mayor. So we're seeing a gradual takeover of mayoral positions. We see a takeover with the Sharia courts. We even had our own law society, you know, the highbrow of the highbrow, sending out kind of memos and information of how you could make Sharia law, how to interpret it and include it within law society practices. We seem to have this thing, Sean, where we bow down like a doormat to the culture that chooses to join us. And we never stand up for the culture they chose to join. It, you know, it drives me crazy.
I think a lot of things drive you crazy, which is why we love you. When we come back, I got to ask the Gabi one. There's an article in the Sacramento Bee today how Donald Trump is killing romance. And, you blame Trump for everything. Why not blame him for that? This is for the Gabi one.
Oh, for God's sake. This is how we roll. Oh,
come on.
Oh, I've hurt my big toe.
Put your hands up. Hang on. Hey, hey, hey. You can find us where the party's at.
Whoa, whoa. Hannity, if I get hold of you, sir, there's going to be trouble.
I can't stand the music we're introducing you with. Can we find a compromise here somewhere?
We can, but it can't be. This is how we roll. Oh, I've chalked my finger in the door.
How are we going to drink together in a pub if this is the kind of music you listen to, marching king and queen music?
We'll find a happy medium. We're going to find a compromise. I'm thinking about Jerusalem. That's good. The WI sing Jerusalem when they go to their meetings. I think you'd love it.
All right. So I don't know if you have the same thing. What do they call this matchmaking thing? Timber and all that other stuff that they got? Tinder and all that other stuff?
We have that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there, apparently Donald Trump, according to the Sacramento Bee, is saying people will ask straight up, did you vote for or do you support Trump? And if you did, boom, that's it. Or you're off. Trump voters, please swipe left and go to your room and think about what you have done on Tinder. I mean, where's this hatred coming from? Salon had to take a Trump-free Tuesday day today because they're so unhinged over there. What's going on?
Well, I mean, first things first, Mr. Hannity, I think you and I and the rest of the population should always be very cautious of anybody that meets their date online. Like, if you have to form a relationship online, it probably means that in real life you're a bit of a prat and nobody wants to hang out with you. And probably in order to persuade someone to go out with you, a prat, you know, a bit of a, you know, idiot, a bit of a Democrat. Yeah. You know, you probably have to change your filter, make your picture look nicer. You probably had to hide your double chin and suck in your, you know, your fat in order to get a date. So, A, you've got problems anyway. And B, I don't know why we all have to think the same. My husband, known as Lovely Mark, because how on earth could someone lovely be married to me? Lovely Mark votes Labour. Like, he's a proper
lefty.
I know. He wears soft shoes. He has an earring. He's nothing like what
you. How long have you been married to this guy?
I know. Too long, darling. Too long. My first marriage
lasted
less than a year, and this marriage has been going for about 8 years. So I'm, like, working on a cumulative basis when I do marriage anniversaries. I add them all together. But, yeah, I think I need to change.
How long have you been married? How many years?
Eight.
You're not going to last till 10, are you?
No way. I hope not. I do need a Trump husband or like a conservative.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, we love you on this show. You're welcome here anytime. We're going to get you on TV. All right, come on. Sing it with me. Ready? Put your hands up.
Oh, God.
This is music. Party music. We stick to our guns. Love who we love and we want to have fun. Yeah, we cuss on them Mondays and pray on them Sundays. We sit around and we dream about one day. Ready, go.
This is how we roll. Roll. This is how we roll. This is how we roll. Oh.
All right, the Gobby one. We'll continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. You know, let me remind you everything that we've been dealing with here and CNN's credibility shot. How long will Time Warner hang on to Jeff Zucker, considering he's now using a network for his own political agenda to take down a president? And everything that James O'Keefe has unleashed on them, and it just proves what lying hypocrites they all are and how they advance fake news. They are the fake news network. And then remember, then we'll remind you, nobody thought Trump was going to win. Now, that impacted Zucker, and it also impacted Obama, why he never did anything about Russia meddling when he knew back in August of 2016.
The more CNN constantly, like, Russia this, Russia that.
Because it's ratings.
Because it's ratings?
Our ratings are incredible right now.
But honestly, you think the whole Russia is just, like, bull.
Could be bull. I mean, it's mostly bull now. Like, we don't have any big, giant proof.
I just feel like they don't really have it, but they want to keep digging.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the president is probably right to say, like, look, you are witch hunting me. Like, you have no smoking gun. You have no real proof.
So, my boss, I shouldn't say this, my boss a couple days yesterday, we were having a discussion about this dental shoot, and he's like, I just want you to know what we're up against here. And he goes, just to give you some context, President Trump pulled out of the climate accords, and for a day and a half we covered the climate accords, and the CEO of CNN said in our internal meeting, he said, good job everybody covering the climate accords, but we're done with it, let's get back to Russia.
The CEO?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So even the climate accords, he was like, okay, a day or so, but we're moving back to Russia.
That's what's, I mean, I understand. It's all ratings, right?
Oh, it's a business. So, it's a business. People are like, the media has, like, an ethical... But all the nice, cutesy little ethics that used to get talked about in journalism school, you're just like, that's adorable. That's adorable. Yeah, this is a business. Especially cable news. You know, cable news isn't the New York Times, and it's not even like NBC News. I mean, NBC News still gets 20 million viewers a night. Cable news is getting a million, so...
I think that there are a lot of, like, liberal CNN viewers who want to see Trump really get scrutinized, and I think if we would have behaved that way with President Obama and scrutinized everything that he was doing with as much scrutiny as we apply to Donald Trump, I think our viewers would have been turned off.
This is baffling to anybody with a functioning brainstem. I mean, we have to be honest about this. Yes, other presidents tried to say nice things about the Russians and other, you know, warm things in their heart and they love, not in the face of an active attack on the country. Cyber war is real war. So you have an active attack on our country and you have the president-elect cannot find it in himself to say this is wrong and it needs to stop.
Oh, no, I was just saying that nobody is saying that the Russians hacked into every voting machine, changed the vote totals, etc. I do think that there's a concern here, and I know you probably want to speak to this. I just am surprised to hear Republicans minimizing it.
Right.
Listen, here's the deal. Democrats might want to make hay out of this, might want to jump up and down. That shouldn't be your concern. You're the governing party. You have both the House, the Senate, and the White House. So you have to be above all that and say, I don't care if Democrats or Smurfs or anybody else want to make a big deal about it. It's a big deal to me and my country. And we're not hearing that. That's shocking.
Now, you just heard CNN. Now, just think back, and we'll remind you, how they laughed at the idea of President Trump. This was a joke to them.
Donald Trump, just last week, he confirmed to the National Review that he is again considering a run in 2016.
Do it. Do it. Look at me. Do it. I will personally write you a campaign check now on behalf of this country, which does not want you to be president, but which badly wants you to run.
Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke.
Is that people think that Donald Trump is a clown.
Donald Trump is a clown.
I mean, does anybody seriously think that Donald Trump is serious about running for president?
Donald Trump, you know, he's a clown.
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
So basically, this is the beginning of the end for Trump.
The beginning of the end.
Beginning of the end?
This is probably starting of the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency.
The strongest person usually isn't the loudest one in the room.
So right now we have Hillary's about a 75 or an 80% favorite. We have different versions of the forecast you can look at.
Poll has Hillary Clinton up by double digits nationally, 12 points, 50 to 38, in a four-way race.
Clinton leading in Florida, Clinton leading in North Carolina, Clinton leading in Ohio, Clinton leading in Nevada. I could go on and on and on.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
And so, right now, Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say, you're not going to be president, all right? It's been fun. It's been great. I love you. But come on, buddy.
We have a major projection right now. Donald Trump will take Ohio. That's it. CNN projects Donald Trump will carry the state of Florida. Huge win for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, while we project, will win in Kentucky, in Indiana, with its 11 electoral votes. West Virginia, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, North Dakota, with its 3 electoral votes, and South Dakota, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, the state of Montana, North Carolina, Georgia, Iowa, Utah, Wisconsin, Arizona, Kansas with its 6 electoral votes, Nebraska with its 5 electoral votes, and Wyoming with its 3 electoral votes.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business.
A lot of people have laughed at me over the years. Now they're not laughing so much, I'll tell you.
I guess not such a big joke anymore now, is it? All right, let's get to our busy phones. We've been very patient. Jenny in Tennessee. Jenny, hi, how are you? And welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, Sean. I enjoyed your interview with Sarah Atkinson about her new book, The Sneer.
Thank you.
And just wanted to tell you it was good to hear from a journalist who's willing to stand up and tell the truth. I got my degree in journalism back in 1992, and I'm just shocked to see what journalism has become today. And
Do you work in journalism, or what are you doing?
No, I had freelanced for a while when my children were young, and now I'm working in tourism marketing, so I'm not in journalism at the moment.
Okay, well, but let me ask you, you know what I like the most about what Cheryl Atkinson said? Whenever everyone's going in one direction, like in the case of Trump collusion, Russia collusion, it makes me think it's groupthink, and instinctively she goes in the other direction and starts asking real questions.
Now, right, which is what journalists are supposed to do.
That's exactly my point.
I just totally agree with you all that I think so many media outlets are using Russian collusion to just distract Americans. I don't even think most Americans know what it means. Like, what does it mean? But it's on the air all the time. And meanwhile, there are so many other problems we need to be solving and issues we need to be talking about. And it's very frustrating for folks that just want to hear the real news and know what's going on in the world.
Well, and that's, listen, from my perspective, that I feel is my job now. That is a void that I want to fill. And and listen, we're working really hard every day to do it. And I am convinced we've gotten this thing figured out. We've got other issues figured out that in time we're going to be proven right on yet again. I'm not looking for credit. I just want to get the truth out. And I am instinctively aghast at how deeply ideological and corrupt the media is. It is beyond despicable, these people.
Well, we're so grateful to you. My husband and I listen to you and watch you, and we're so grateful that you're doing what you're doing. And so keep fighting the good fight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for giving me this microphone. You make it possible. Kathy is in Rhode Island. Kathy, hi. How are you? And welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi from Narragansett Bay, your old stomping grounds.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, my gosh. Where are you in Rhode Island?
I live in Jamestown.
Yeah, I lived in Warren, Rhode Island. And yeah. Did you ever go to the Black Pearl in Newport?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How great is that clam chowder?
It is. You should come back and see how things have grown and changed.
You know, I really haven't been back in a while, but I do order some, you know, Buddy Cianci before, God rest his soul, he passed away. Every time he came to New York to be on my show, would bring me Black Pearl clam chowder. Can you believe that guy?
For heaven's sake.
Every time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, and you can order it frozen, and it comes to your house. It's great.
Wowie. Well, I just wanted to say that I enjoy your show every day. And one of the things that I'm thinking about and I found ironic was that I think had James Comey done his job and enforced the law based on the violations he found in the proceedings in Hillary's email server and the mishandling of classified documents, had he prosecuted her at the time or indicted her, she wouldn't have been the candidate. The Democrats would have had to find maybe Biden, maybe Pelosi, maybe somebody else to run, and chances are good they may have won. So I think that individually he probably had the most influence on the outcome of this election than anybody.
Really? I don't know who had what influence, what, when, and where, but I will tell you this. What Obama did was a political. He made a political decision, you know, and for him to do that, he was willing to serve his party and Hillary Clinton over his country. And there's no other interpretation of that. And that's sad.
No excuses. No excuses for him.
None whatsoever. Well said. All right, Kathy, tell all my friends in Rhode Island. You ever go to Inn at Castle Hill? How great is that place?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, you go there for cocktails. You overlook the ocean. It's beautiful.
You'll come back.
I really should come back. You know, one of these days, I actually want to take my kids all the different places I've lived in my life. And living in Rhode Island, I want to show them where I started my adult life with no money.
Very good. Good lessons.
All right, Kathy. God bless you. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN is our number. Mark is in North Carolina. Hey, Mark, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, thank you. I was calling, Sean, because I've got my problems with people like Ted Cruz and people like Marco Rubio. Throughout the debates, they mocked and tried to humiliate Trump on health care. And yet here they are running for president, and there are no plans coming out of these guys. I mean, I don't understand. Where are these fantastic plans that they were supposedly running for president on? And now we have nothing. And it's just an embarrassment, because we're either going to end up with Obama light, and we're going to end up losing the House because of that. I just don't understand where the Republicans are. I think we need term limits. We've got to get these guys.
Listen, I agree with all the above. The only thing I can tell you is it's frustrating, as I think I've been one of the most outspoken about how spineless and weak and how their knees buckle, and how frustrating during the House debate when we discovered that there were at least 100 House Republicans that never had any intention of a full repeal and replacement of Obamacare. With that said, I am confident, based on the changes that the Freedom Caucus made and the changes that people like Cruz and Rand and Lee and some others are making, that the bill is going to be the best we can get. We're going to save a lot of money. We're going to repeal the taxes. We're going to repeal the mandates. We're going to get rid of a lot of the bad of Obamacare. The Health and Human Services Secretary has assured me personally on this program and on my TV show he will use his discretionary authority for the other issues that are important to us. And that at the end of the day, you know, we had Josh Umber on the program the other day, that cooperatives like his and health savings accounts are going to be what drives the cost down. Now, the good news, Democrats are all focused, 20 million people may leave. They can't give an accurate estimate of how many people may not have insurance. But we're also going to see costs down for premiums 30%. as a result of the CBO scoring. Now, I don't trust CBO scoring, but it's the first time it's been down. And after the $8,000 per family increase under Obama, we got to drive these costs down for the average American that can't afford it. They can't afford the deductibles. They can't afford to even walk into a doctor's office, for crying out loud. But I promise you, after that, then we need tax reform. Then we need the president's economic plan. Then we need the border wall built. Then we need energy independence. Then we need school education sent back to the states. We got a lot of work to do here, which is why I'm saying to these idiots, get to work and don't go on vacation again. And by the way, you can check what your congressman or woman is doing on my website, Hannity.com. All right, Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We are going to eviscerate what is now the collapsing liberal media in America and also the latest with Project Veritas. We got Geraldo. Cheryl Atkinson is going to join us. Also, McCabe is in the hot seat. Ooh, looks like he's going to be going. That's all coming up. Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett tonight, Dr. Gorker tonight, and I have a special monologue on liberal Joe Scarborough. You don't want to miss it. 10 Eastern, Hannity, Fox. See you back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.